All rise. Wait. The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Robert M. Davis presiding. All who have business before this court draw near and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning. I'm Judge Davis. To my right is Judge Sholin. To my left is Judge Mormon. We are here today in the matter of Gazelle against Robert A. McDonald, Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, docket number 14-2272. Would counsel for both parties please note your appearance for the record?
Mr. Gazelle appears by Kenneth Carpenter and also by Glenda Hurl.
Thank you.
Deborah Bernal on behalf of the Secretary, along with Deputy Chief Counsel John Moriarty.
Thank you. Are both parties ready to proceed?
The appellant is, Your Honor.
Okay. Each party will have 30 minutes to present your respective arguments. Counsel for the appellant, do you wish to reserve a portion of your time for rebuttal?
Please, the court, I'd like to reserve 10 minutes.
10 minutes, please. Counsel for the Secretary, you're ready to proceed as well. Mr. Carpenter, you may proceed.
May it please the court, Kenneth Carpenter appearing on behalf of Mr. Frederick Gazelle. This case deals with the question of statutory interpretation, specifically the provisions of 38 U.S.C. 1114 and its myriad of subsections. Congress, in writing this statute, divided the statute into two specific sections. These sections are separate from one another, and in the first part of the statute, subsections A through J, they represent the general rule for the assignment of the amount of compensation to be paid for a veteran with either individual or multiple service-connected disabilities. In the second portion of this statute, in sections K through T, Congress has expressly determined that they would authorize exceptional benefits that are payable for special circumstances based upon a public policy determination by Congress that within these sections, the general rules of A through J would not apply. At issue in this case is whether or not the provisions of 38 CFR 4.25, which is the VA's combined rating table for determining the amount of compensation that will be paid to a veteran who has multiple service-connected disabilities, applies to the provisions of 38 U.S.C. 1114S1. I'd like to refer briefly to Mr. Gazelle's rating history in this case, because I think it demonstrates how Congress expressly intended the provisions of 1114 to operate. In this case, Mr. Gazelle, from April of 1993, was assigned a 50% rating for his disability from post-traumatic stress disorder. He was also assigned a separate 20% rating for what was then characterized as arthritis due to trauma. Under the VA's combined rating schedule, those two ratings of 50 and 20 did not pay at the rate of 70%. They paid at the rate of 60%. In June of 2007, the VA determined that the assignment of a single rating for the second disability that was related to the arthritis due to trauma should be recharacterized into four separate disabilities. Those four separate disabilities were each assigned a separate disability of 20%, 20%, and two 10% ratings. As a result, Mr. Gazelle, under the VA's combined rating schedule, now had a total of not 70%, but a total of 110%. But under the VA's rating, combined rating schedule under 4.25, those combined ratings were determined for compensation purposes to be paid at the rate of 70%. 1 month later, the VA determined in July of 2007 that Mr. Gazelle's post-traumatic stress disorder disability should no longer be rated at 50% disabling, but should be rated at the 100% or total rating level. That is under the provisions for payment under 38 U.S.C. section 1114J. And just to digress for a moment, I think it's important for this panel to understand that when Congress wrote 1114 in A through I, it assigned percentages. And A is 10% and I is 90%, and there are 10% increments in between. For the final rating under J, it is not a 100% rating. It is a total rating. And the total rating, in my view, makes a significant difference in how Congress structured this particular statutory scheme, particularly in relationship to what Congress did in the succeeding subsections.
Yes. Counsel, in discussing the statutory scheme, I'd like for you to turn to 1155, if you would, please, with regard to the Secretary's authority to create this scheme, and discuss that for us.
Well, 1155 applies, in my view, only to that portion of 1114, which is in the subsections A through J. It does not apply in subsections K through T. And the reason that it does not apply is that when dealing with the rating schedule, we are talking about rating disabilities, a disability or disabilities that do not arise to the level of a total rating under J. The entire function of the mandate from Congress under 1155 was to direct the Secretary to create a rating schedule. And in the creation of that rating schedule, the Secretary has identified numerous disabilities and assigned a rating schedule for the level of severity for each of those disabilities.
And then how does 1157 play into that scheme?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
1157 is that section of the 38 U.S.C. 1157, you're familiar with it, the combination of certain ratings.
That, the 1157 combination applies in two different ways under 1114. From A to J, it applies when assigning a rating up to a total rating. The VA, by
where do you find support for that, Carpenter?
I find support by that in the legislative history, which describes the intention of Congress in creating, in particular, section 1114P. In 1114P, Congress was asked to, if you will, create intermediate steps in between the steps that had been previously created in the statutory scheme between K and now T. In those sections, or excuse me, in section P in the legislative history, we find when the Congress amended P in March of 1994, the committee indicated in a report that it recognized that even minor hearing loss, when combined with total blindness, can be a severe handicap, carefully reviewed the testimony of this legislation and concluded that under the present law, blinded veterans with hearing losses do not receive adequate compensation. This portion of the legislative history crystallizes what has happened or what Congress's intent was in creating the provisions K through T to deal with the inadequacy of that rating schedule to adequately compensate veterans when they have conditions that are in combination.
But if I can...
Excuse me, go ahead.
Why then does the recognition that the A through J doesn't adequately compensate veterans, so they've created these additional benefits, potentially combining blindness and hearing and whatever, that we would then look to a different way to add these benefits together?
For two reasons, Your Honor. First, in A through J, we are talking about a process in which the VA must arrive at a calculus to determine the amount of compensation when the combined ratings are less than total. Under 4.25, once the combined disabilities meet the total level and they are assigned a rating under J based upon that combined rating table, then they are paid at the J level. However, they can be paid, as Mr. Gazelle was, in two separate portions at the 60% level and the 70% level, even though the total of his ratings were 70 and 110% when they were added in the normal fashion. The reason that K through T is different is that we're dealing with combinations of disabilities that exceed the total rating. You will note that in the amount of compensation awarded K through T, there is awards in excess of J. There is no award in K through T that is less than J.
Right, but in S in particular, since the statute has two parts, one where we're talking about a total disability, and then a separate potential number of disabilities that add up to 60%, we've taken the 100% off the table. So now we're looking at what else he has that can be up to 60%.
That's correct.
And so why would we not look to the same scheme that VA uses to add up when a veteran has a less than total disability now that we are only dealing with the less than total disabilities?
Let me back up. First, I believe that you are incorrect when you say total is off the table, because total is the first predicate for entitlement.
Right, so that's been satisfied, and it cannot be applied to the second half of the statute.
That's right. And therefore, there is no longer any function for 4.25, because the first predicate has already been established. 4.25 serves a narrow and limited function to determine the amount of compensation paid when the amount is less than total.
What then, Mr. Carpenter, do you do with that portion of the statute, 1157, which says that it applies to subchapter Roman numeral 2, and subchapter Roman numeral 2 of 1114, 1114 is part of subchapter 2, wartime disabilities. Why does that not equally apply to sub S when it's all part of the same covered provision?
Because what we're talking about here is a means of determining the amount of compensation to be paid when it's less than total. That is the exclusive function of 4.25. When we look to the succeeding portions, J through T, we are either at a total rating or something in excess of total. And the clear intent of Congress in K through T was to create a series of combinations that would allow veterans to be compensated at a rate more than total.
Then why, and this is what troubles me, why did Congress not say this is an exception to 1157, which says that combined ratings apply to all of subchapter 2 of wartime disabilities?
I would suggest that it is implicit, the exceptionality of the provisions of K through T in the statutory scheme, because once you get a total rating, as Judge Scholin just suggested before, the in her earlier question. The first question, or the first predicate under S1 is, does the veteran have a single disability totally rated? And as of July 2007, Mr. Gazelle had such a rating. Then you move to step two. The direction from Congress is a 60% disability or disabilities independently rated. So they are independent from that total rating under J.
Correct.
That's what makes it exceptional, because it is part of the demonstrated statutory scheme to create a series of combinations of disabilities that will, in the public policy determination of Congress, determine the amount of compensation to be paid more than total.
Where in the statute does it say that we should add them arithmetically speaking?
It does not expressly say that, but if the court looks to the provisions of 1114P, 1114P, particularly as it has been interpreted by the VA in its regulation, recognizes that there are additional disabilities, even at the 50% rating, that are in combination with other specifically described disabilities or impairments. And in so doing, they recognize that that combination applies exceptionally to those circumstances in which it's not really a question of adding, it's a question of simply recognizing, are there or aren't there independently rateable conditions at 60 or more? There is no other way to determine that on the face of the statute other than to add them. If 4.25 did not exist, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So we have to focus on what is the function of 4.25.
Right, but 1114 was written against the backdrop of 1157 because it was enacted later.
Yes.
At least from 1945, the combined ratings table has existed, and 1114 is promulgated or enacted in 1960. So Congress was aware of VA's particular approach to math.
Yes.
And why would we not believe that they legislated against that backdrop when they stated that we would be looking at 60% that could be arrived at through multiple disabilities?
Because of the predicate in S1 that there be the existence of a total rating. Once there is a total rating, there is no longer a function for 4.25. 4.25 serves the limited purpose of determining the amount of compensation, as it did in Mr. Gazelle's case from 1993 to 2000, to pay him at the 60% rating for his 50% for post-traumatic stress disorder and his 20% for his arthritis due to trauma. That is the sole function for combined ratings. There is nothing to be served in using the combined rating schedule, and in fact, there is no other reason to use the combined rating schedule under 4.25 except to exclude Mr. Gazelle.
Mr. Carpenter, can you point to any place in the VA benefits system where multiple disability ratings are simply added as opposed to being combined under 4.25?
With respect, the answer is no.
Okay.
The simple answer is no. But I must explain that the reason for that is that the VA's combined rating table serves a specific function, and that is to determine the amount of compensation when you have multiple disabilities that do not reach the total level, or can be able to reach the total level. But once they reach the total level, that is the end of the function of 4.25. Let me follow that with a further response to Judge Shulman's question relative to 4.25. There is no purpose served to use 4.25 in any other subsection from K to T other than the potential use in this case in S2 or in S1 in the second factor. And the only reason to use it is to exclude. That is inconsistent with the rule that this court adopted in Bradley and Bowie, that the VA was under an obligation to maximize the benefits available. And that's what the function is. That's the statutory scheme here of 1114 K through T, because the Congress made a public policy decision that they would enhance, they would give payment for the exceptional circumstances that they felt justified more compensation than J.
But the issue here is more limited than that broad policy implementing procedure laid out in sub S, because Congress clearly intended that there be some level of disability awarded that was above the 100% under certain circumstances. What we're really arguing about here is whether or not independently rateable at 60% is to be on an additive basis or on a combined basis. Am I correct?
Yes. And Your Honor, in the regulations adopted by the VA for 1114P, they specifically use that terminology, independently rateable. And they're talking about a 50% rating. And a 50% rating independently rateable clearly includes not just a single disability, but potentially more disabilities.
Doesn't independently actually modify the and separate from the first predicate of the statute, which is the must be one disability rated total, and then there are others independently rateable?
That is certainly the interpretation that has been offered by the VA in regulation when they interpreted, I believe it's in 3.350I, where they add to the language of the statute.
Well, and this court has also found that you can't do combinations of disabilities to reach the total rating in the first predicate.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So how does this independently modify both the first predicate and the second predicate?
Excuse me one second. We're out of time, Mr. Carpenter. Could you add 2 more minutes, please? Thank you.
I am not suggesting that it modifies it. I am suggesting that it is plain on its face when it simply describes 60% the disabilities rated at 60%, independently rated at 60%, and that there is no other math function that is necessary other than to determine whether the number 60 has been reached. And the number 60 is reached in this case with 2 ratings at 20 and 2 ratings at 40.
But in order to get there, don't you have to read out of 1114 the provision for combination of certain ratings under 1157?
No, Your Honor, because the term of art combinations refers in the context of 1114 K through T to the combinations that have been identified by Congress. In S1, it's a single disability and independently rateable disabilities at 60 or more. That is the combination that warrants the payment under S1, as does in every one of the other subsections above T, and you'll note that there is no reference to combinations in A through J, because they are simply the identified marker for the amount of compensation to be made.
But the legislative landscape against which Congress created sub S included 1155 and 1157, which had been extant for some years prior to Congress's legislation of this special provision.
And there is nothing in the language of 1155, which merely mandates that the Secretary create a rating schedule, that excludes reading 1114S1 as simply independently rateable disabilities which add up to 60%. there is no need to use the VA's combined rating table. The VA's combined rating table takes those ratings that were created by the secretary and then puts them into a matrix to determine the amount of compensation that will be paid in subsections A through J. If you meet the J level by those combination, by the combined rating table, then you're paid at 100%. But if you're paid less, as Mr. Gazelle was from 93 to July of 2007, then you are paid at a lesser rate than the amount of the disabilities. And those disabilities, Your Honor, are not combined. They are combined under the table for a determination as to the amount of compensation that you paid. The combinations in K through T are set out by Congress for the exceptional circumstance in order for the VA, in the judgment of Congress, to adequately compensate the veteran for those serious conditions.
But Congress didn't explicitly say that, Mr. Carpenter.
I respectfully disagree.
He said it was implicit.
Well, but they did by creating this system. This system, this statutory scheme, makes no sense if you read it to reimpose 4.25 after you've reached J. 4.25, as Judge Roland suggests, we have to assume that Congress knew about VA math in 4.25. Mm-hmm. With that as a given, they went on and proceeded to talk about putting together combinations that would justify, in the public policy determination of Congress, how much a veteran would be paid. And the only reason to use 4.25 is to exclude entitlement to those benefits. If Mr. Gazelle had one more disability rated at 10%, we wouldn't be here.
Right, but we could also have veterans who are at 20% and already have a total disability rating of 100%, and Congress didn't intend to include them under S.
That's correct.
So they clearly drew a line where they thought this level of disability was sufficient to require this additional payment. So
the question is, how does this court interpret what Congress meant when it said independently rateable at 60 or more?
Right.
In that context, we measure 4.25 and what 4.25's function is. Congress made a determination that a single total disability plus independently rateable conditions at 60 or more met their criteria for the exceptional case.
If we get to the point then where the regulation becomes important, the statute is not clear on its face, then what kind of deference should we be giving to the Secretary's regulation and interpretation of the regulation? Are we talking about Chevron? Are we talking about our deference? Are we talking about Skidmore?
I believe we're talking about Skidmore deference, Your Honor. The only thing that the VA can come up with, and I don't think it's a very strong argument, is their manual provision. Their regulation parrots the language of the statute. And in parroting the language of the statute, that's not an interpretation. The only portion of the regulation that interprets it is, as Judge Scholin suggested, to use that independent as a modifier of the single disability and make sure that that single disability is a separate etiological entity, which it is clearly in this case, between the post-traumatic stress disorder and the back condition.
Are you abandoning your argument that the statute is clear on its face?
No, Your Honor, I am not, because I believe if you read the statutory scheme in its totality, you cannot read into this statutory scheme the use of 4.25. The use of 4.25 ends when a rating is assigned under the combined rating schedule at J.
Okay, Mr. Carpenter, you have 1 minute left of extended time of a total of 7. But I have one quick question, if you could answer it. The regulation 3.323 plainly and unambiguously states that for compensation purposes, when there are two or more service-connected compensable disabilities, combined evaluation will be made based on the the rating tables.
Yes.
So does that not apply?
Of course it applies, but it only applies in A through J.
And does it say that?
Why,
this is the implicit argument again, right?
Well, it's not just an implicit argument.
Okay.
It's what is the intent of Congress in the creation of its statutory scheme. In creating a statutory scheme, it created, if you will, two levels. Level one is A through J, and level two is special monthly compensation. Different from compensation. It is compensation more than the compensation that is described in 3.3.
2.3. Very good. Very good. Your time is up.
Thank you.
Do you have anything else? Okay. Thank you. Ms. Bernal, if you need extra 7 minutes, you will be entitled to have it.
May it please the court. The secretary's position in this case is that the combined rating table set forth in 38 CFR 4.25 should be used when VA determines whether a veteran has additional disabilities ratable at 60% or more so as to qualify for special monthly compensation under the provisions of 38 USC 1114 S1. The plain language of the statute supports this position, because 1114S1, as a threshold matter, requires a disability rated as total, something that exists in this case, and subsection 1 requires additional service-connected disability or disabilities, plural, independently ratable at 60% or more. The only way that VA rates multiple disabilities is through the combined rating table. The court recognized this in Bradley v. Peek, and the Federal Circuit recognized this in Guerra v. Shinseki, when both courts stated that Section 1114S1 contemplates combinations of disabilities for purposes of determining if a veteran satisfies the second prong of the statute. As stated, the combined ratings table is the only way that VA rates multiple disabilities.
Okay, Ms. Bernal, let's get to the argument that appellant's counsel has just made regarding the combined ratings only applying to certain sections of the statute. Is that consistent with your understanding of the statute? If not, why not? If so, that might answer the question.
No, Your Honor, that's not consistent. The combined ratings table has been in operation. VA has used the combined ratings table since 1921. The rating schedule was first created in 1919. 2 years later, the combined ratings table was made part of that schedule. And it is not some version of VA math or some unique formula or some matrix for determining combinations of disability benefits. A veteran who is not disabled is considered 100% efficient. The rating table is VA's reasonable determination that the effect of additional disabilities is not purely cumulative, and that additional disabilities reduce on a proportionate basis the remaining efficiency of an individual. Appellant's focus is on the level of disability. Add them up, 20, 20, 10, 10. The rating table is, the rating code in general, is not about evaluating the level of disability. It's about compensating the claimant for the reduction in earning capacity. So a non-disabled veteran starts out as 100% efficient. In this case, Mr. Gazelle's first disability is rated 20%. So that reduces him to an 80% efficient individual. When the second 20% disability is added, his residual efficiency at that point is 80%. The second 20% disability reduces his residual efficiency by 20% of the remaining 80,
right,
which is 16%. So if you look at the combined ratings table, two 20% disabilities are 36% disabling, the combination of the original 20 and the second 16.
So is the combined ratings table veteran friendly?
It is better.
Wouldn't it be better if you added the percentages, the disability percentages for the veteran?
Well, it would result in ratings in excess of total, which is something that is not contemplated by the rating code. In fact, as stated, the combined rating table has been in existence since 1921, but in 1924, in the sort of preamble to the combined rating table, VA specifically explained that the combined rating table was adopted after consideration of the question of rating multiple disabilities. By simple addition, it would be possible in many cases to create a total of such multiple disabilities in excess of the 100% authorized in the Act. Yet in such cases, the aggregate disability may not actually be total. Accordingly, percentages for multiple disabilities are combined, not added.
The early versions of the Federal Register show that VA's Regulation 3.350 included the word combination, but it doesn't in the current version. Should we assign any sort of significance to the fact that VA took out this word combination that you're relying on in your manual provision to help guide us in this and give you deference to?
No, Your Honor, because the original version of the regulation of 3.1566 is a mirror image of the instruction one that was attached as Appendix 2 to the Secretary's brief. It was the VA's instruction to the agency before the regulation had been promulgated. And then the first promulgation of the regulation that has later become 3.350I mirrored that instruction and did use the word combination of disabilities. Then the following year, the word combination was taken out, and so was the limitation about the 60% of disabilities being separate and distinct from the disability rated as total. And then in 1963, VA added back the prohibition against pyramiding and stated to the regulation and stated that the 60% disabilities had to be separate and distinct from the 100% disability. The regulation looks the same as it did in 1963. But what remained consistent is the use of the phrasing disability or disabilities, plural. And the use of the word disabilities contemplates more than one disability. The language referring to combination or combinations of disabilities it became redundant in the regulation because the plural form of the word disabilities remained throughout the amendments.
So you're saying by leaving the plural in, that it infers that you then use the combined rating table, or is there some other linkage that gets us to the combined rating table then?
Well, as leaving the language disabilities plural in the regulation and the statute contemplates that multiple disabilities can satisfy the 60% criteria.
Right.
And the only manner across the board consistently that VA determines the rate for multiple disabilities is by using the combined ratings table unless explicitly accepted.
So your argument rests on the premise that we have to consider the statute in the context in which it's the entire section and what it's relating to, as opposed to based on the language in the 1114 itself.
Well, Your Honor, our argument is that the language itself in 1114 S1 is, by using the plural term disabilities, contemplates multiple disabilities, which...
Right, but that doesn't tell you how to arrive at 60%. You need something else to tell you how to do the math, and you're relying on 1157 and the combined ratings table. So it's not just 1114 that is clear on its face. If it existed on a blank canvas, that would tell us how to do this math. Yes.
Well, Your Honor, if the statute is, if the court determines that the statute has any ambiguity in it, it would, VA's reasonable interpretation of how to rate combined disabilities, which VA has been doing consistently since 1921 is something that is entitled to great deference in this particular instance.
Do you agree with the appellant that it's Skidmore deference that you're entitled to?
No, Your Honor, it's Chevron deference in this case.
Does the regulation provide more information than the statute does on this point?
Well, it does, Your Honor, because if you look at the statute, it only says that has additional service-connected disabilities or disabilities independently ratable at 60% or more. But the regulation expands on that by explaining that the disabilities independently ratable at 60% or more have to be separate and distinct from the 100% service-connected disability and involving different anatomical segments or bodily systems.
Does it matter for us to determine what level of deference to provide, whether the regulation adds any information as to the matter at hand or just adds information generally?
Well, Your Honor, I think adds any information generally, but in this case, I think it does add some information regarding the issue at hand because it addresses the prong of the statute that pertains to the 60% disabilities, again uses the plural term disabilities and explains that the 60% disabilities have to be separate and distinct from the disability rated as total. So in this case, Mr. Gazelle's total disability is PTSD, and so for purposes of determining whether he meets the 60% criteria of the statute, our regulation explains that the spinal disabilities and the rate of
Right, that was the question in Bradley, though. The question here is how do we arrive at the 60%? And it doesn't tell us how to do the math, does it? Other than your plural argument.
Well, Your Honor, the authority for Section 1114, it comes from 1110, which establishes entitlement to service connection in general. The authority for Section 4.25, the combined ratings table, comes from Section 1155, which authorizes the Secretary to create a rating schedule to compensate veterans for their level of reduction in earning capacity, industrial impairment. And 4.25 is part of the rating schedule. It's authorized by 1155 and 1157, which authorizes combined ratings. And both the use of the combined ratings table is the only way VA rates multiple disabilities, something that had been in effect for many years before 1960, which is when subsection S was added to 1114. The combined ratings table had been being used since 1921.
So you're not really relying on the M21 anymore?
Well, Your Honor, I'm not relying on it. It supports it's further support for our regulatory interpretation, which has been consistent since the enactment of 1114S in 1960. The regulation has always contemplated that multiple disabilities would be rated under the combined ratings table, and the manual provisions support that approach.
Counselor. Both you and the appellant have argued that the statute is plain on its face. And then you've both taken that argument down to the regulatory phase. But if the argument is close with regard to whether or not there's an ambiguity, doesn't this court have to apply the veterans canon and say that the ambiguity is resolved in favor of the veteran?
Well, no, Your Honor. As the Federal Circuit, in addressing this particular statute in subsection S, in the Guerra case, that argument was raised, and citing Sears, determined that the pro-claimant system of veterans benefits did not override the significant deference that was afforded to the agency when the agency's interpretation was reasonable. So in this case, unless the agency's interpretation of this statute is inconsistent or plainly erroneous, VA is entitled to deference.
Counsel, I assume you your position is that there is no other place in the VA benefit system where multiple disability ratings are simply added as opposed to being combined under 4.25 that you're aware of.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Getting back to your response to Judge Mormon's question, that the Federal Circuit, what they said in Guerra and in Sears, do you think that the Federal Circuit is overruling the Supreme Court's statements in Gardner and King?
No, Your Honor, I don't think that. I think that they're clarifying that that the agency, in this case VA, is entitled to great deference in terms of how statutes are interpreted as long as those interpretations are reasonable and not inconsistent with the meaning of the statute.
So when would Gardner ever apply?
Well, Your Honor, Gardner would apply if in, well, I think that this was discussed by the Federal Circuit in Guerra, if the statute and the regulation parrot one another, then there's no deference afforded to the regulation, little deference afforded to the regulation because it doesn't provide any additional insight. And, or if the regulation is inconsistent with the statute, then it's not entitled to deference. Well,
then it wouldn't be entitled to deference and we don't even need to rely on Gardner then.
In this case, appellant's not asserting that the board miscalculated his disability rating under 4.25, and he's not challenging the validity of 4.25 or its use of combined ratings table, the combined rating table to rate multiple disabilities. His only contention is whether 4.25 was triggered in the first place for special monthly compensation under 1114S1. And the secretary's position is that the plain language of the statute requires the triggering of 4.25 because it contemplates multiple disabilities which are only rated under the combined ratings table.
The appellant argued that any of the provisions in special monthly comp subsequent to J, basically the combined ratings table doesn't apply because you've already achieved a total rating. And I just don't know this factually, and I wondered if you do. Do you know if, you know, under K or L, are those folks starting with a 100% rating, you know, like for loss of a procreative organ or whatever? Like, do all these groups per se have a 100% rating already that happens to be in one of these specified groupings of anatomical loss of hands or arms or eyes?
Yes, Your Honor. The way 1114 is set out, A through J provide the monetary rate, you
right,
know, 10% to 100%, and then K through T now provide special monthly compensation.
Right, but it's like these things that we've recognized as so awful, we're going to give you more money.
Right, and when P was added, subsection P was added in 1945 to 1114, Congress stated that the purpose behind adding that subsection was to compensate veterans who's with specific combinations of disability that exceeded total with the special rates provided in subsections K through, at this point, T.
Okay, thank you.
So, are you suggesting that the appellant's counsel is correct that 4.25 does not apply to K through T?
Well, Your Honor, if you, I wouldn't say correct. I would, though. K through T are the combined ratings table is a manner that VA rates multiple disabilities for purposes of determining the scheduler rating. So J is the maximum scheduler rating that you can, that any veteran can receive. It's total. It recognizes complete loss of earning capacity. So Congress recognized with K through T that there were certain combinations of disabilities that were so bad and so debilitating that veterans who had those combinations of disabilities were entitled to special monthly compensation at a statutorily prescribed rate in excess of J. So the combined ratings table wouldn't be triggered because we're not rating those disabilities in K through T.
So those are unique and special disabilities that are fairly specific.
Yes, and they are in excess
of the ratings table, under up through J at least.
A through J, yes, is a specific rate. A specific rating equals a specific monetary rate. L through T is the only manner you can achieve a compensation rate in excess of J.
But in O and P, the statute specifically referred to other disabilities rated at certain levels. In O, it's a hearing loss rated at 40% that would get you to the next level. In P, it's, again, hearing rated at no less than 30% disabled.
Well, Your Honor, O in particular is a subsection that contemplates combinations of disabilities in a way that allows a veteran to reach a higher rate of pay. P applies in the event that a veteran's service-connected disabilities exceed the requirements for any of the rates prescribed in this section. So first, a veteran would have to be entitled to special monthly compensation under L through N. Then consideration will be made of O to see if the additional rate can be applied under O. And then if not, P considers if your disabilities exceed one of the other sections but don't quite meet the next higher rate for O, then P allows for an intermediate or a full half step up. Again, Mr. Gazelle doesn't meet any, and this is something appellant does not contend, that he meets any of the requirements for subsections K through N. He only is arguing about subsection S. If there are no further questions, the Secretary urges the Court to affirm the Board's decision in this case.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Carpenter, you have 10 minutes.
Yes. I'd like to begin my rebuttal by addressing the question of deference. With all due respect to my colleague, I believe she is absolutely incorrect that the government is entitled to Chevron deference in this case. There is no basis for Chevron deference. Chevron deference is only afforded, as it was in Guara, when there is a regulation that contributes something to the understanding of the meaning of the statute. It fills a gap. In Guara, the regulation that was deferred to and was afforded Chevron deference was that in regulation, the VA added the word single after the word, or excuse me, in front of the word disability, rated as total. So it then interpreted the statute when it simply used the article A to describe a disability totally rated in the statute to mean that it was a single disability. And that interpretation was found reasonable and was given deference under Chevron. We do not have that in 1114S1 in the VA's regulation at 3.350 in the subsection I, because all that the VA's regulation does is, as the VA has acknowledged, parrot the language of the statute. It affords nothing, it fills no gap, it offers no understanding as to what the meaning of 60% independently ratable disability or disabilities means. And it doesn't, in the words of Judge Shulman, show or direct the court or the VA as to how to do the math. And to make my position clear here about the plain meaning, I'm suggesting that the plain meaning is there is no need to do the math. There is no math to be done here. Math is to be done under 4.25 for a very specific and very limited function. And that is to calculate the amount of compensation that will be paid when the service-connected disabilities do not reach, on their face, a total rating. In other words, under the VA's 1155 rating schedule, that they do not, as Mr. Gazelle did in July of 2010, afford the veteran a 100% or a total scheduler rating. Once the total scheduler rating is arrived at, then in the words of the Federal Circuit in Guara, some exceptionally disabled persons who are rated as total are entitled to extra special monthly compensation over and above the, quote, total rate provided in subsection J.
That's I don't think you and the government are in disagreement as to that aspect of it, Mr. Carpenter, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think the disagreement is over whether or not you do combined ratings as opposed to additive ratings.
That's correct. And
what tells us to not use the VA standard computation for this to determine whether or not you have an additional disability rated independently rateable at 60%?
It is the functionality of 4.25. The function of 4.25 is to serve the limited purpose of determining when, as in this case, between 1993 and 2007, Mr. Gazelle had a 50% rating and a 20% rating. He was not compensated under the 70% rating under, I can't remember what the letter is for 70%, but he was compensated instead under the 60% rating because the VA had and has had, as the government indicates, for quite some time, a combined rating procedure. And that procedure applies only in order to determine what amount of compensation. I think the problem, at least as I view it for the VA's assessment here, is that they are trying to make 1114 into something other than the amount of compensation you receive. The calculus for determining the amount of compensation between A and I is to use the combined rating table, which you can also, in fact, get to J. But once you have gotten to J, or anything less than J, using 4.25, the function of 4.25 is over, and it does not move to these exceptional categories, which the Congress has determined as a matter of public policy that they are going to adopt and integrate into the amount of compensation to be paid. And one thing that I did not mention, and the government did not mention either, is that in the hierarchy of special monthly compensation, the compensation for S1 is at the bottom. It is the lowest amount of additional compensation. The only one that is above that, approximately twice the amount, is under K for aid and attendance. Aid and attendance pays something in excess of $600, S pays $300. The amounts we're talking about for everything else are substantially higher. And that then returns us to the question of what is the purpose of using 4.25 under S1? And there is only one purpose, to exclude. To deny Mr. Gazelle and other veterans who have independently rateable disabilities, a disability of 50 with 10, or 40 with 20, or the combination that Mr. Gazelle has. If you have anything above that, the VA concedes that you make it under their way of doing math. And it is important. And if this court determines that there is ambiguity in the statute, and I can certainly understand why the court would take that view, although in my judgment, when you read the entire statutory scheme in context, in looking at the fact that in K through T, we're dealing with special combinations, special recognitions of exceptional disabilities that Congress has made a public policy decision to compensate, and one of those is under S1, in which you have a single total rating and you have independently rateable disabilities at 60 or more, and the government simply comes to you and say, You should defer to the fact that the plural use of disabilities infers that you must use 4.25. That's not an interpretation. That is an expeditious way of making this determination.
But every time you return to the statutory argument, you drive me back to 1157, and which says that combined ratings apply to all of these statutes that are grouped together under wartime disabilities, including 1114. How do you get around that?
I get around it based upon the statutory scheme itself. The statutory scheme in A through J has a specific purpose for total or less compensation. When you're dealing with, as the Federal Circuit observed in Guara, exceptionally disabled veterans who are already totally rated, they are entitled to special monthly compensations. And when you move from regular compensation, as in response to the question from Judge Davis about the regulation that defines compensation, it's merely defining, if you will, regular compensation. This is special monthly compensation. And special monthly compensation in which Congress has made combinations, or if you will, pairings of severely disabling conditions that they believe justify more compensation because they have made the determination that the total rating, which they provided under J, is simply not adequate for those specifically identified disabilities.
But in sub-S, what Congress was doing was they were saying, okay, you have a total rating, and then at the next extreme, you have housebound. And what we need is something that falls in between. That's my understanding of legislative history.
That's correct.
And the something in between was up to Congress to set.
That's right.
They picked independently rateable at 60%. They could have said rated at 70%. They could have said rated at 30%. But they said independently rateable at 60%, which gives us the situation we face now, and that is, where did they tell us to depart from the combination of ratings portion of the statute that applies to this entire subsection?
Well, I would suggest that they did that by omission, by not directing the VA to use the combined rating.
So in this context, you would say that Congress had an affirmative obligation to say, if you want to use 1157 here, we have to tell you that you can use it here.
Absolutely. Because this system, this statutory scheme is based upon above J giving exceptional compensation.
Thank you very much. Time's up. Thank you. Case is submitted for consideration. The court will now come down to greet counsel.